Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
You ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do this.
Unique New York.
Unique New York.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1982 film Conan the Barbarian.
Ah!
We've been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun. This is Just Another Review Podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
It is now. It's back.
We're back. We had a great summer.
Yeah, where you been?
We took a long break. I went away. You went away. You know, ever since we did. And we had to reflect a lot. We had to take a break after that massive podcast we did about
Showgirls. Yeah, man, that one took a chunk out of me.
Yeah, man. So thank you very much again to Michaela. We'll have her back soon. She's requested Galaxy Quest. So we'll find some time to do that.
Why don't we just make the announcement now? Next will be Galaxy Quest.
Sure. If Michaela's available, let's do it.
I think so.
Okay, we're going to try to get back to our two-week schedule. Hope everyone's having a great fall.
Yeah. The leaves are turning, the weather's turning, right?
Leaves are turning brown.
Everything is brown, everything is brown. The sky, isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, you know more than I do. I don't know. Say words something in a tune. Like that. Today we're talking about Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Released in 1982.
Oh.
This stars Arnold Schwarzenegger as Conan.
Yeah.
This is his one of the things that put Arnold on the map.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know.
Listen, didn't he do Hercules before this?
Sure.
He did some Hercules. I don't know. I'm just going off what I think I know.
Well, this is what the podcast is all about.
Oh,
just talking about what we think we know.
Yeah, and we can be like totally full of shit, right?
Yeah.
There's the coin.
Every time Sean swears, he puts lotion in the basket.
Yeah, no. I think before he got really well-spoken in English, like he is in this film, he did some Hercules film where he was Hercules.
And he didn't have to speak English?
No, I think they overdubbed him.
Greek?
Someone else did his voice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think he tried.
But it's, hello, failed. My name is Hercules.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, we better get someone else to come in here and do the voice for this guy.
Yeah.
And then he learned English.
I'm Hercules. I'm fine.
This totally works. More of this, please.
Directed by John Milius. John, pretty established writer. He wrote Apocalypse Now.
Have you
heard of that? The horror. I believe he wrote the Dirty Harry films.
Sorry, did you say Apocalypse Now is a horror film in your opinion?
No, I said...
Or did you call me a whore?
Okay, both. No, neither. I said Apocalypse Now, and then I quoted the famous line, the horror. From the movie.
That was my natural reaction, too. Oh, ah. That did sound campy, but that was my natural reaction. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Marlon Brando.
You're fast.
Yeah, I'm slow. You're fast. I've never watched a Dirty Harry film.
Mm. I know the popular line, you know, go ahead.
Make my day.
Make my breakfast.
You know, because Jim Carrey does it. And it's funny when Jim Carrey does a Clint Eastwood impression. That's where I get all my Clint Eastwood material.
When he like really scrunches up his eyebrows and stuff.
What a
rubber-faced, funny guy he is.
I probably watched more directed movies by Clint Eastwood than movies with Clint Eastwood acting.
Yeah, for sure. I would second that. Although I have Good, Bad, the Ugly is good.
Is it? Is it bad?
It's good, long, and it's good and long.
I don't think I've seen that either.
It's got a great musical score to it.
Oh, interesting.
Amazing. Amazing. And it's, I think, on the similar vein of Conan the Barbarian that we're watching here, is that it relies heavily on really good visuals and very little dialogue.
Mm.
So just
and a good score.
So good, pretty pictures. Character, facial acting and expression, and then good music to tie it all together. So, yeah.
And the script is second, you're saying?
I would think so. I don't remember there being... There's some good quotable lines, Blondie, and stuff like that. But yeah, you should go watch it. It's really good.
Oh, and I was speaking more about the script written by Robert E. Howard, John Milius, and Oliver Stone for Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, that was interesting when the credits came up and all of a sudden written by Oliver Stone. Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of the things to get Oliver Stone also on
the map. I guess he's done a lot of, probably written a lot of movies that... you're not aware of, I bet. I bet if you go down the rabbit hole...
Because I'm not aware.
Me neither. I don't want to just guess, though.
Well, let's guess. Okay. Oliver Stone wrote Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
No, he didn't.
He wrote Showgirls.
He did.
He wrote Avatar 2.
And 3 and 4.
Wow, well, can't wait.
Let's seriously try and think. What did he write that he didn't direct?
Dude, no freaking clue. Would you have ever guessed that Oliver Stone, who did like Platoon, probably his best movie, I assume, because all the other movies probably don't hold up, wrote Conan the Barbarian? I wouldn't have made that easy connection.
Like, is there much writing going on with this movie?
Yeah, there is. You know, we can quote,
I guess, dialogue, I'm thinking, but right. There's still, they need to write out all the action and...
Right. Like, plot is kind of, as they say in the biz, it's... Who else is in this movie? Sandahl Bergman. Do you think that's how you pronounce her name?
Bergman. Bergman sounds right. Sandahl.
Bergman is right.
Sandals.
Sandals. Like the vacation spot in Jamaica.
Yeah, or like the thing you put on your feet.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never heard of it.
Scandals.
Sandahl is a dancer.
Ooh.
I would only guess because she's in movies such as All That Jazz and Xanadu, a big Bob Fosse person.
She was very very good at moving. I thought she seemed very, like, either athletic or was just good.
Or a dancer.
Yeah, or an aerobics instructor. Or,
you know what? She was in 80s fitness videos.
Oh, my God.
The Firm series. She was an instructor in workout videos.
Mm.
I would have watched it.
I probably have.
You know, she stopped acting in 2009.
That's too bad.
I don't know if she passed away. I forgot to do that amount of research. I just thought, like, her internet movie database. Are you pretending to...
Sorry, I'm Googling phone? The Firm series right now. Keep talking.
The 80s workout series, Firm. Who else was in this? Well, Jerry Lopez.
Ah, Jerry.
Sabotai. You know,
is that racist?
Yeah, probably. But maybe it's also a little bit racist casting Jerry Lopez as a Japanese character.
Considering he was Hawaiian?
Yeah. But like Arnold, who is an accomplished fitness person.
Mr. Olympia.
Jerry was an accomplished surfer, champion surfer. Yeah, pretty much that was his career from then on, or even before. I think he did some surfer movies, but but he didn't have such a high movie profile as Mako did, who plays the wizard and the narrator.
Right.
Japanese American actor who was in lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. What?
And there's James Earl Jones in this movie from his character is Thulsa Doom.
Thulsa Doom.
That's a pretty good name.
It is. That is like Thulsa Doom.
If you could have another
back
child.
Back the fuck up. Thulsa Doom's coming in here.
Would you name that child Thulsa Doom?
If I knew he was going to be like a destroyer of worlds, I'd probably call him Thulsa Doom.
Dr. Strangelove is a movie that James Earl Jones was in. He wasn't in it physically, but he used the voice of, like, he was the voice of a character. What was that called? It was like Star Trek or Star Wars. Yeah, I think it was the Star Wars, but he was like Luke Skywalker's friend or colleague.
Cousin's friend's uncle's. Maybe pilot trainer.
Yeah. I don't think even Luke knew what he was.
Okay, come on. Everyone knows James Earl Jones was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie on Disney Plus?
No.
Not TV show, I mean.
No.
But also he was in, like, Coming to America in 89, in 1989 he did Field of Dreams. So, you know, he's done lots of good stuff.
Yes. Sometimes he's a bad guy. Sometimes he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he's done lots of stuff.
In this movie, he's a bad guy. Which I'd like to talk a little bit about his motivations.
Good ash.
And then the last one we'll mention now is Max von Sydow, who played King Osric. And I mean, Max,
I wrote down Christopher Plummer when I was.
Yeah. Looks like Christopher Plummer.
I was like, old, Christopher Plummer's in the fucking movie.
Old white guy.
And then he's just gone.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously he just kind of dropped in for a day and did an important.
Did he have some star power back then, or does he have any star power?
Yeah, okay. So Flash, he was like Gordon. In Flash Gordon. He was in the Exorcist.
They're probably going off that then. Yeah. Hey, the Flash Gordon success.
I think he.
Oh, Exorcist.
Man, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's done lots of stuff.
Okay.
So obviously it was
no,
like.
No, I know. He seemed recognizable.
You know, like Drew Barrymore, you know, you get her in and you stab her to death in the first, you know, 5 seconds of your movie and then you move on. Mm. And you can say Drew Barrymore is in your movie. Well, these guys could say Max von Sydow is their movie.
Yeah, and they plopped her all over the posters and all sorts of stuff. And like she was their.
Wasn't she the biggest face?
And that was a great idea too, because she dies right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And all their marketing stuff and trailers were like of that scene and shit like that. So, yeah, they didn't have to spoil their own movie by showing too much. You know what I mean? And then they used her to draw it in. Yeah, you're right.
Hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya. What's that from?
I have no idea.
It's from Mission Impossible 1. Emilio Estevez says it right before he dies within the first 5 minutes of that film. Sorry, spoilers for Mission Impossible 1.
I don't think you need to apologize for people that haven't watched a... What, 25-year-old movie?
In Conan, it cost about $20 million, and they made $68.8 million worldwide.
That's so pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Not a lot of...
Triple its money.
I think the critics, even at that time, agreed that it was a pretty cool movie to watch, but they kind of, you know, it was easy to probably make fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger at the time. Mm-hmm. Sandahl Bergman, though, she got a Golden Globe for New Star of the Year in a motion female.
Wow. Golden Globe, eh?
Well, I mean, they had $68 million, so they had about $48 million to pay for something after spending $20 million, so they probably bought her a Golden Globe. I assume that's how Golden Globes work. Mm. It's just more of like who has deep pockets. Are you ready to get into this?
Let's get into this.
Conan's village is plundered by Thulsa Doom and his snake cult army, killing his father and mother. He's taken into slavery and gets buff pushing the slave wheel. He gets a secondment to Pit Fighter, where he learns to read and becomes a weapon master.
Secondment? What is that?
It's like when you are like moved positions.
Okay.
Without like, hey, we need you to do this now. It's not that you don't apply for another job. You just like that your employer moves you from one job to the next. I'm using secondment in a cheeky, fun way. It's not the actual term.
Good word.
Probably used. And he becomes a weapon master. His fame leads to an empathetic release. And for the first time since childhood, Conan is free.
I'm free!
Free at last!
I'm free now! You know what? I had the Conan theme music. And now
what
I don't.
Happened?
I don't know.
You could have played it in the background of what I was just saying.
I was trying to
in
find
a world
it.
Where there's a man.
Where there's a man. Oh, maybe I can find it here. Hang on. You filibuster this for 2 seconds, man.
Well, let me talk about all the hot babes that are in Conan the Barbarian.
Wait, I can stop what I'm doing to talk about the hot babes. Conan's just like left, right, and center.
He gets the babes.
He's got the babes when he's a prisoner. They bring him a babe. Like he didn't have to work for this.
Well, this is like
when he's a naked boob.
It's not. He was naked, like.
I mean, sorry. What I meant to say was boobs.
There's a lot of boobs in this movie.
There's a lot of boobs. But you know who else's chest is showing a lot in this movie? Conan's.
Yeah.
So is it okay if Conan is constantly baring his nips? Is it okay that other people are baring their nips? Like, is that fair? Is that equitable? Can we call Michaela, please?
Oh.
Can she set us right? Yeah. So first of all, maybe I think the most beautiful person in this movie is Natty Uska, who plays Conan's mother.
Natty Uska. Yeah.
She wasn't far in the movie. So, okay. So here, I'm Thulsa Doom. I'm James Earl Jones. I can charm people with my eyes.
Yeah, is he charming or is he like hypnotizing?
Yeah,
them? I guess it's hypnotized. He's a snake charmer.
Same,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I can like, and I was charmed. I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, I'm charmed.
I bet you were.
Whatever you need me to do, James Earl Jones.
Yes, my son.
So they're pillaging a town. What happens when you plunder and pillage a village? What else do you do?
you like clear everybody's family lines, right?
Sure, but what do you do? Like if you burn if you're houses. A Viking, and what else?
Rape their women.
Right. Okay.
Can we say that anymore?
Well, we're talking in historical terms.
Okay.
We're not suggesting that that's good.
Okay.
But
I just don't even like that word.
Sure. Exactly. It's a terrible word. But this is what happens, right? You rape and pillage.
Right. You get a coin for that word.
But Thulsa Doom just pillaged. And I mean, maybe kudos. Kudos to the story of this movie that they were only pillaging. But if there was many times...
He was in the search for steel, right? He didn't care, right? Isn't that what he said?
I guess so. But
he said later on, oh, that was when I was young and I was on the search for steel.
Oh, good James Earl Jones.
I am. This is coming out of nowhere.
I just wonder if you're James Earl Jones and you're a snake cultist leader and you have many bases and within those bases, you've got many women tied up and used for orgies. And you run across,
you're skipping ahead.
And you run across Nadieska in a village. Do you just chop off her head?
No.
Or do you invite her to come to your house? I think you invite her in.
I don't know. There's like back.
I don't
in
understand
time,
why he made that choice.
Dirty, unclean women, but
men, women, men, dogs,
like unshaven, and all of a sudden this beautiful woman standing there. He's just killed her husband, so he doesn't got to worry about him.
No,
right?
No, and he's charmed her. Like yeah. She has her sword, and she's like, "Ooh, wow, I'm charmed. I'm dropping my sword." And he chooses. I mean, it's dramatic and it's thematic to inspire Conan for this life of revenge. But I don't know. It's not the decision I would have made. Thulsa Doom.
I quite liked that scene. That was quite an intense scene. It was just no talking, nothing, just this kind of eye stares at each other. You could tell what was going. You could tell he sort of hypnotized her or charmed her for a moment to put her sword down. And then, oh, it's just really cool. And not something I was expecting from this movie. I was expecting it to be completely stupid. To be honest with you, I watched Conan the Destroyer.
Have you never seen this movie?
I have.
Okay.
But I just didn't remember. But if you go along the same veins of Conan the Destroyer and Red Sonja, which are number 2 and 3 in this series, they're really, even though this movie has some funny bits to it, some little comical moments, which is great, but they're really campy, like shitty. And but this one's not like that at all. No, this is.
I mean, this is still campy sometimes. It's still funny sometimes. But it's a good mix. You're saying they're walking. That
I think I had forgotten about this original one. Is in short what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, because compared to the other two, this is a lot more. I don't know. I don't want to say grounded, but you know, it's just I guess trying to take itself a little bit more seriously and trying to craft at least a pretty decent movie here. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the movies, and I didn't mean to judge you when I asked you that question because I've never seen this movie. Russ has never seen Conan the Barbarian. That was my first time. Thank you for suggesting this, Rod.
Rod from work.
Rod, we'll call you in a bit, Rod. Or if we can't call Rod, we'll call the next best thing, which we won't tell.
We've got a couple of people on the Rolodex. Let's see.
Yeah, if Rod's not available, we'll give someone else a call. When he is put into slavery. And he's taken with all the other kids, and they're taken to the slave wheel.
To slave wheels, yeah.
It was a grain mill, so they were like milling grain.
Or producing power or something.
It's not power. It was like they were just like
crushing grain.
Are
you sure about that?
I'm 100% positive. I would die on my sword.
You'd fall on your sword?
I'd fall on my sword if it's not a grain mill. But I want to understand the economy of this. So Conan probably went from, 5 years old to 25 years old? 20 years he worked
at
the grain
mill. 18. Let's just say he was 18.
Oh, you think that's what it was more like?
I don't 18? Know. Yeah,
yeah, sure. Okay, so at least 15 years.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit less. At least 12 years. By the time he's done pushing, there's nobody left.
Yeah, because do you see how muscular and big he is?
And so that was an indication that only he had like a special gene in him to get like none of the other kids got muscular. Are we assuming that the kids either died or got also brought into the fight pits?
He ate the other kids.
Oh, he's made up of kids.
He's got, made of all the kids. That's how he got so big.
So when the the mill leader, the grain mill leader, wasn't looking. He was, ah, clummy, I get you kids.
I think pretty much when one kid would
fall.
It's
not the tumor.
It's just survival of the fittest. You know, kids would fall and one after another. And they would drag that kid away. And then maybe a couple hours later, you know, ding, 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 dinner bell goes. You know, and all of a sudden, you know.
Why would they even drag him away? Because eventually, because you're going in a circle, he would just come up upon them. And he could just,
ruining my story.
As he's walking.
So a couple hours later, they come back with fallen kid soup.
Mm. We're going to get to fallen kid soup.
And he was just the last one to make it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So he got big off eating kids.
He got big off eating kids.
Like you do. And then they're like, wait a second. I bet you this guy, he looks pretty buff, but can he fight? So they put him into the fight pits.
Into the fight pits.
And yeah. No, he can fight. And then he gets so popular that he gets kind of famous and gets some notoriety.
Whoa, that was him in a fight pit.
That he gets some, there's some wealth that comes to it in respect to, like, he gets a better place to live. He gets to learn to read.
Conan then got to rape women in his cell and eat.
Well, that's
fallen child soup to his heart's desire.
Well, you use the R word now. You should ding yourself. Right. But here's the question. This is an interesting scene because there is the idea of, like, he's brought food, he's brought companionship, and a woman comes in and he grabs his, you know,
yeah, he like furs, covers her and then he
covers her,
lays her down and uncovers her.
Right. So there's like this aspect of like, is he a gentleman?
No, because she's like, I think he just like, and he's got this big like shitty grin on his face. He's just like, Conan, getting me some, yeah, you know. And she's just, help me, oh, and he's all like. She's like, no, don't. I wonder if that's what he sounds like when he ejaculates, eh?
Well, only,
eh? Only Arnold and Conan are the same person. Jesus, what was that?
Well, they are the same person when it comes to this movie.
Oh, I guess so.
So I don't know much about the history of of Conan, but this at first I was like, okay, so where is this on Earth? Like, I was trying to make this make sense in the history.
Were you trying to ground this
of social life? I was thinking, like, is this real life but with a fantasy spin to it? But no, this is like a whole like fictional world. It's a fictional period of Earth's history, like called the Hyborian Age, I believe it's pronounced, but you know, whatever.
Where the hell did you get this from?
It's called Research the Google.
Okay.
So it's like,
I want to know where regular people get this from just watching the movie. Like, if we didn't pick up.
Well, I think in the 80s, when this movie came out, people were a lot more versed in like literature, where now we're just versed in what's on Prime, what's on Netflix.
Oh, so this Hyborian Age isn't necessarily Conan specific.
Well, yeah. So this guy, Robert E. Howard, wrote like a series of like,
He wrote Scientology, didn't he?
No, that's isn't that Hubbard? But there might have been some cross connection there. Like Lovecraft was like a big important author there, and Howard knew him. So there was like because he did a lot of Pulp Fiction stuff, and he wrote about like he created this world. He created the Conan the Barbarian character. Okay. He also created a character called Call, which some would say this movie is maybe more based off the Call character. Like takes elements of Call and combines it with, Conan the Barbarian. But there's a lot of these stories that Robert Irvin Howard wrote, and it's incorporated into this movie.
I see.
But yeah, there's some like it's not a brand new character for
this.
It's
like a fantasy writer.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very Dungeons and Dragons forward to me, even though, like, you know, the timing of that Dungeons and Dragons, I believe, came out in the 70s. But it's that whole idea. But I think
it was probably going off its popularity at the time, I bet.
Well, I think Robert Irvin Howard really was kind of a forefather to this whole, like, sword and sorcery subgenre. Like, he probably paved the way for other people, like the creators of Dungeons and Dragons. But the visuals of this movie, as someone who's never seen the movie but has played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons, I was like, yes, this is, like, campaigns we would do.
Yeah, exactly. This is like Dungeons and Dragons, like, wet dream hair. You're a slave. You get fight your way to freedom. And along your path, you do a 20 die ice dice roll to meet the wicked, hot Asian witch who takes you into a cave. Now roll a one or two. Are you going to fuck her or are you going to leave?
I'm going to fuck her. Roll.
Yeah, fuck her. Let's roll a one. Okay. One, yeah!
Everybody, great, you know, 12 years old around the table gets up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go fucking roll the one, yeah!
It was, when you were rolling the dice, it looked like you were doing something else there.
Well, that's exactly what you were doing.
Guys, Scott, sorry.
I'm just like the dungeon master.
Jeff, can we take a little break here?
What, was the Asian witch part a little intense for you, Russ?
I just want a little break, okay? I'll be right back, guys.
Jesus was that Christ. Asian witch? Yes! I'm so glad I rolled a one. Oh, rolling ones all night.
Russ, what are you doing in there?
I'm rolling one!
Oh, okay.
Hang on a second. Russ doesn't smoke weed.
What? This has been brought to you by Sean.
Sean's stupid imagination.
Because Sean never came to Dungeons & Dragons as a kid.
I wasn't you were
at home. My mom thought you guys were worshiping Satan at the time.
Making up these stories in your head.
I was hoping this was going on.
Like, you're not far off.
It makes me feel better.
You're not far off.
Made me feel better. There's
24 minutes into this movie. And
wait, what did I do? I was trying to think about what did I do?
You played Street Fighter?
Every single one of my other friends.
You went to Taekwondo?
I don't know what I did while you guys were playing D&D.
You hung out with your parents?
I don't know.
Hung out with Pepper?
Jeff even took my girlfriend at one point. I had nobody left.
And nobody what?
I had nobody to hang out with. It's D&D day. Oh, fucking great. Fucking D&D day. You guys are all excited and I'm like crying at home. Like, fucking D&D day, Mom.
You don't need friends like them, Sean. They all worship Satan.
It was?
They do. They worship Satan.
It was Sunday that we would do it, so maybe you went to church.
Mm-mm.
You were concerned about Satan, but you didn't give a shit about God.
I was praying to Crom. Crom, help me get revenge.
I've never prayed to you before.
If I don't, the hell with you. Bring my girlfriend back, Crom.
Nope, Jeff stole her for good.
Jeff being the dungeon master.
Yeah, thanks,
you
Jeff.
You have a lot of power as a dungeon master.
Obviously.
You gotta be responsible with that power. With great power comes great responsibility.
It sure does. I think we should move on.
Well, I was going to say, 24 minutes into this movie is when Conan the Barbarian talks for the first time.
Yeah,
so to your point, exactly, a lot of visuals, good music. They're not concerned about filling it with dialogue.
Yeah, I've got a note here. 30 minutes in, zero dialogue, and I'm loving it. So yeah. I'm actually really enjoying the start of this movie with just how the setup, everything, the music, just no dialogue, but yet I'm engrossed in the story. It was great. I thought that was really, really good filmmaking when you can do that.
Yeah. Visual storytelling.
Yeah.
Which is what movies are all about.
Exactly.
You know, if you want audio, read a book.
Yeah. You want crime, drama, and talkie-talkie? You can have that, but this is...
Listen to the radio.
This is boobs, brawn...
And chest.
And bold adventures.
Arnold's chest.
Right.
Do you have anything else before we go to part two of our synopsis?
No, I'm good. I rolled a one. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Chased by dogs. Do you have the music? Did you get the music?
Oh, yeah. I got the music. Let's do this. Ready?
I filibustered.
Chased by dogs, Conan finds a buried throne room and finds a sword cutting his chains. He comes across a witch and rescues Sobatai, his new best friend forever. They begin a successful career of thievery, and Conan makes a special lady friend, Valyria. The trio are tasked with a quest by King Osric: rescue my daughter from the snake cult.
Yes. Yeah. Rescue my daughter from the snake cult. Yeah, Christopher Plummer comes in and says, rescue me.
That's who that was. That mm-hmm. was correct. Christopher Plummer. Isn't Christopher Plummer Canadian?
I don't know.
I think he is.
Sorry.
Oh, Canada. I skipped over, which you kind of alluded in your storytelling phase, of the of the witch, which I thought was cool. Oh. Sort of.
You didn't like my other story?
D&D story? Sure, I loved your story. But I'm just going back to the movie, which we're here to talk about today.
Yes, sorry, I got sidetracked.
No, that's fine. That'll be the best part of this episode. Is the idea that he comes across her, and she's like, oh, come on in, and I'm going to help you. And then he's able to, like, she's able to give him information through sex.
Right.
But is he also bringing out the demon with she's turning, she's giving him information through sex, but she's also turning to some sort of like demonic creature.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like it's a little switcheroo there. Like,
if they never had sex, would she have been fine?
I don't know. She was like trying to help. Well, let's be honest. There was no chance they were not going to have sex.
I mean, if I was at my house and Conan came over.
He wanted it. It was very consensual, I believe.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
Come on, you're an 18-year-old.
This is Conan's first consensual relationship.
You're 18 years old. You're just left the house for the first time.
Right.
You stumble upon some sexy Asian witch that just wants to go at you and her house.
Sure. You throw her in the fire.
She's done.
What else do you do?
I don't know.
I thought that was cool, though.
You knew what was going to happen. It's inevitable.
Like a little stopping to the quest that he was doing. Gets some information and finds Subutai, who is chained up outside the tent. And they kind of like hit it off right away. And he frees him. And, they're buddies now. They're partners. They're business partners.
For someone whose motto is...
crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of their women.
Wait, and hear the lamentation. Wait, say that again.
Crush your enemies.
Okay, I got that.
See them driven before you.
Uh huh.
They hear the lamentation of their women.
And hear the lamentation of the. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think just hear the women going, "No, my husband."
You like they're him. Hearing their women scream is what he's saying, right?
Yeah, I guess
right.
So.
Now, for someone whose motto that is, and it's a through
that's
line.
That's what's been. That's the doctrine that's been like fed with him as a child.
But he seems to make friends pretty easily, even though. This is his doctrine, right?
In his heart, Conan is a
Conan,
truly nice guy.
You are just a nice guy,
and that's why he covered up that girl with his
right, just for a moment.
With his furs.
I think he's pretending for that three-second walk over to the bed. It's a show. It's all a show.
I like this relationship here, and then again,
he's an archer, you know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know about this.
Again,
you've got your warrior.
You got your warrior. You got your ranger.
You got your
barbarian. You got your ranger. Okay. These are all classes in the Dungeons & Dragons universe.
Okay.
But you need
a... catching up.
You need a really good fighter, though. We'll get to her.
Okay, yeah, right. You need a Valkyrie, right?
I don't think it's Valkyrie. I don't think we're talking about Thor.
Okay. Oh, Ragnarok. Okay. See, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Fucking D&D.
Yeah, if you had been able to get a seat at the table, we used to play a round of.
I think I asked and Jeff said no.
What?
Yeah, when Helena wanted to finally play, I think that was I better play now because they got fucking nothing to do.
When your ex girlfriend started to play Dungeons and Dragons,
no, she was my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, I see. And now that my girlfriend is playing Dungeons and Dragons with you guys, can I come in? And he said no.
Yeah, because he had other motives.
He had a long term plan.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, which was to steal my girlfriend, and which he did.
Yeah,
but thank you.
But they're not together now, so it's fine.
No,
like,
no.
Get over it, right?
Well,
move on.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was pretty deceitful, though.
I mean, how old were we?
In high school.
Like 15?
I forgive, but I don't forget. I don't forgive. Let's be honest, I'm a Libra. I don't forgive.
You sound like Conan. I forgive, but I don't forget. That was Conan.
Crush your enemies.
I'm going to crush my enemies.
See them driven before you.
And I'm going to steal them.
Hear the lamentation of their women.
That's right. I'm going to hear the lamentation
of
the women.
That's a way better impression than I was doing. I just like how they're immediately bonded, Sobotai and Conan, and they all, and then they start right away. They're like, "Hey, I heard about this place, so we should go and, you know, start a life of thievery." And just, and then they, and then they meet. I think they meet Valeria. Is Valeria?
No, did they just stumble? Oh, yeah. Were they just going to be thieves into that place, or he was still on the search for his two snake heads? He's still,
I think
he's always been on the search for the shield of the two snakes facing each other.
Yes. Right? So I think he's doing both. Like, okay. he's like, I need money, right? I can't just make a life, punching camels.
Yeah. He looked like he punched that camel for real.
It was for real.
It was. What did PETA say about that?
They were not happy about this movie.
I bet. There's
the dogs, the horses
at the end,
the punching a camel. Like you know those like no animals were harmed in the making of this movie.
I don't think that was in the
credits of this movie. Some concerns mm-hmm. with that part of it,
most definitely.
So they go their first kind of caper. Valeria is introduced. She is now kind of the third person in their team, in their party, and she's the fighter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's an amazing fighter. And then they have spoils now. They've got riches. And now they're partying.
Now it's time to party.
They're hanging out. That was kind of one of my favorite scenes.
And they fall in love.
And they fall in love.
And they fall. And rightfully so. They're like made for each other.
I think they're both
a warrior people. And a, yeah, exactly. Like just when you thought you couldn't get any better looking than Arnold, here comes in this Valeria girl and she steals the show, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valeria sounds like a disease.
It does.
I got the Valeria. Mm. I think it's Valeria.
I don't think you'd complain if you got that Valeria.
what's the firm? The firm series. Oh, my abs are steel.
Get your mind to a go for it. You're gonna break a sweat.
Right? there's a shot of like Valeria and Conan like sitting in the pub, and there's like a big bowl of stew in front of him, and he's just wasted, and it's a perfect visual. I want, if I could make a screensaver, that's what I would make it. And then I think at this point, they're kind of like, hey, you guys come with us, and then they're given the quest, the main quest, which I actually forgot about like 20 minutes after the fact that they got this quest, but they need to save the princess of King Osric, because I started to focus more about Conan's revenge tale and him like getting back at
he's able to kill two birds with one stone. We'll get to it, but yeah, let's talk about the world of Conan here. I see you've got a note that it's filmed in Spain. There's some amazing scenery, and there's just some, there's these grand landscapes. They've really like, I don't know, maybe because the fidelity of the film isn't as high quality as it is these days, but the costumes look great.
So I was
sets look great. Like, the world is believable.
I was thinking this now that they make movies in just like, what is that? The globe. What is that place called that they make all like the
The sphere.
The sphere or whatever it is. Like, they make all these.
What's it called? The sphere.
It's called something.
The globe.
But
the box.
None of these things. None of these things is what it's called.
The volume.
The volume. But they make it in this volume. The blue screen. And
it's not a blue screen. It's a screen.
Right. And obviously they save money. That must be it. Because it doesn't. And maybe it looks like they can do more complex stuff, but does it look as good as this? I don't know. Like, I think I'd rather them just go to Spain.
Nothing looks as good as just practical effects being right there, filming things for real, in a real place. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why. Like,
that volume's a really good plan B.
A plan B?
Yeah. Especially like, hey, we don't have the budget to go to Spain and film these castles and blah, 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 blah. But
we're talking about Disney. We're talking about big companies that could probably just go to Spain. Why don't you? Anyways,
I don't know.
Beautiful castles, beautiful fortresses, beautiful landscapes. There's just a lot of beauty here on the screen.
And again, Conan's knocking them down, right?
Like, I get back up and I get down again.
He's rolling ones with all these ladies, right?
No, he's got one lady now, Valeria.
Right, but this is the third lady now in, like, what? But
this is his,
in 45 minutes? Conan, I'm just saying, he's just
45 minutes of our life, but like 18 years of his life. But I hear what you're saying. But he's found his, well, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but he's found his love of his life.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's who she is. Anything else you want to say?
Let me see here.
You called Christopher Plummer Gandalf?
I don't know. Just random note.
Do you know who plays Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings movies? Not Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer does.
Oh my gosh, you okay?
Oh, I meant to make comment on it before.
I meant to make comment on it.
Giant hammer guy is Schwarzenegger's friend that's in all of his movies. What's his name? What's his friggin' name? Oh, Sven Ole Thornson.
Which other movies is he in?
He's in all of them. He's always he's in The Running Man. He was the buddy's, the little host's bodyguard. He always plays some small stunt role in all of Schwarzenegger's.
Well, maybe films. They worked out a lot and they were good buddies.
Maybe.
Because Arnold would work out a lot.
Sven Van
Like his Olsen. Social group was just about working. Like I watched the first 10 minutes of his documentary.
Okay.
And he's just talking about working out all the time.
Just like, the first 10 minutes?
Well, I kind of got bored. Okay. But it was like he was like talking about how when he grew up, he just had photos of like just like bodybuilders in his room. And that's all he would do. Like he would just meet guys and they just work out all day like outside. Sounds cool.
Let's move on before I say something stupid. Okay.
No, giving me no, that's good. Here we go.
Start.
Conan attempts to combat the snake cult alone, but ends up crucified. He's resurrected by a wizard and learns that teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm.
Conan, Valeria, and Sabotai break into the palace, rescue the princess, and defeat Ulsa Doom once and for all. But shitty, Valeria has to die.
Yeah, I was just saying you missed an important plot point. She dies.
She dies.
But then he has an epic kind of last stand,
right,
with his army, and then Ulsa Doom flees away like a coward back to his castle, and then Conan has to sneak up on the castle once and for all.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
my apocalypse son. Now. Very apocalypse yes. now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And doesn't he behead? Isn't there a beheading too? I remember they're cutting the cow up.
Yeah,
there's a lot of mallet and like
Martin Short's supposed to
Martin Short, Canadian comedian Martin Short.
Martin Short has to go in the cave and dance his way in front of the guy and make him come back to the United States, right?
Yeah, that's true.
No, Martin Sheen.
Sure, yeah,
I believe yes.
Yes, it is yes, Martin Sheen.
Yeah, decapitates. Yeah. Doesn't he?
He kills him. I can't remember if he decapitated. There's no hair to hold on to because Marlon Brando's
head. I think
no hair.
Puts his head in a bag.
It's quite possible.
I don't know. I'm making shit up.
I mean, his job was to do this. Like that was his mission to kill Marlon Brando or to like squash his whatever crazy thing he was doing in the jungle.
Jim Charles Jones is a badass in this movie. He's using snake arrows and stuff. Took him a year to grow his hair out like that.
Both Conan and James Earl Jones?
They grew out their hair together. It like was like a
putting their heads together?
My hair is longer.
My hair is longer.
My hair is longer.
Interesting.
My hair is longer.
Hair is longer.
No,
I'm just kidding. It's a wig.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's hair.
Is it?
Yes. That is Arnold. That's why I thought you said that, because Arnold Schwarzenegger did take a long time to like do like weapon training, workouts, probably more than he already did, and grow those locks. Oh. Those are real Arnold Schwarzenegger.
My son.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
My son.
Now do it like.
Hey.
What?
My son.
What's this constant?
What the fuck is going
constant
on
themes
here?
In the cinema world.
Unreal.
Yeah, speaking of child soup. Did you notice that there was like body parts in that cauldron
in the
when they were pouring
soup?
It? Yeah.
Okay, come on. Just when you thought you couldn't see any more beautiful naked bodies, they break out an orgy with like half an hour left in the movie.
It was a pretty lame orgy though.
Okay.
Like I was kind of watching the orgy. And there wasn't really much going on. Like, I feel like people were maybe just lying beside each other. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like, oh my God, they're actually having sex.
No, but there was a lot of boobs. I mean,
sure.
There was a lot of boobs.
There was chests. Yes. Men, women, dogs. Yeah. So
dog boobs?
Pardon me? I don't know. Could be.
Boobs.
Could be on a holiday. Could be taken on a holiday. Yeah, I don't know. Cool. Cool. Yeah, it was cool. It was unfortunate that Valeria had to die. It was cool that he had a snake arrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, when he would straighten out the snakes and use them. That was cool.
The weapons in this movie are fantastic. Did you, when we used to go to Kukum Center, did you ever go to the House of Knives? Would you walk into the House of Knives with me?
I would walk by. I would kind of window shop there.
I remember as a kid always wanting to go into the House of Knives shop.
It seemed like a place you wouldn't go.
Yeah, but you couldn't. But they always had the swords on the wall. Like, they had Excalibur, and they had Sting, and they had all these, cool...
A katana, probably, or, something like
probably.
That.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I assume they would have maybe Conan's sword, too. Like, the cool inscriptions within the blade. Actually, Arnold purchased two of them from the film, and then when he was governor, he'd had one of his swords above his desk.
Oh, crazy. The action scenes weren't that great though. The stuntmen, you could always
I mean,
they were throat when they would get slashed in the neck. Yeah. You could see them take a handful of blood and they'd whip it on their neck while they grabbed it. You know, it was they were throwing their own blood around.
The blood burst wouldn't come from the sword, it would come from their hand coming to their neck, which is, I know,
they would grab their wound and at the same time throw blood on themselves. It's very apparent, but whatever. But
still cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I don't know. Snake arrows kind of made up for it.
Snake arrow. So there's cool battle axes. There's the mallet hammer that you were talking about that one bad guy had.
Yeah, weapon of choice, though. Come on.
I don't know. Kind of cool weapon. You crush someone's skull with it.
For sure. I mean, maybe if with the peasants at the beginning, but he's trying to go against Conan with it. By the time he takes one swing, Conan could have done three.
It works for everyone but
Conan.
And he
fucked up and he hit the pillar and the pillar crushes his buddy.
Your weapon can't work.
Sven Olsen 99%
of the time. So he does this last stand. He sets these booby traps kind of like
boobs.
Predator. Do you think he used any? Because didn't he use the same kind of trap where you you pull back the log and it has the kind of the
spike spring on it, spring force or whatever.
I feel like he used that in Predator too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sort of.
He learned it there and then he did it again.
Totally.
Kind of like he's Arnold Schwarzenegger's move. So if you ever
kind of like the Predator, every battle he learns something and applies it to the next battle. Oh my, this is unreal how many themes are in this movie.
Anything else? Anything else cool from you?
I was expecting more with the really slow motion dramatic fire pot swing at the end. He's he grabs that pot of fire on the steps after he's he's swing and they do a close up. It's all
pretty cool.
And he throws it and it just going to go flying. And then you hear this bang. And I was expecting an explosion. It causes the main, what you want to call it, cathedral to catch on fire at the end.
Which seems like the cathedral is made from stone.
So that's what I was going to say. How the fuck does it catch on fire, man? That's all made of stone.
There's a lot of wood there. But
Hollywood magic.
I don't know.
That's, I guess, Hollywood magic. And then he carries the girl away at the end. Again. He's knocking him down.
Well, even up until the end. He's got to take.
It's Conan. Saying after all that.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Actually, she didn't seem too willing to go, did she? She was very
defiant. She's probably charmed. She was probably charmed.
Do you think she's still charmed? And she's kicking and screaming the whole way home.
As soon as you kill the head of the snake, the charm wears off.
There's that part when Conan was, after he was crucified, they kind of wrapped him up in a little burrito and pegged him down to the earth.
Wrote words on his face.
They kind of tattooed him up and then those demons came. I found that a very uncomfortable because all they were doing was and I've edited this down, but it's the audio was horrible. It was nothing but moaning and screaming. Here we go. There's the wizard. Oh But it was like this for like 2 minutes. It just got really uncomfortable.
Death is uncomfortable. Resurrection is uncomfortable.
Sounds like they're rolling ones, man.
I don't know. That's what happens, man. You gotta. It's a lot of work to bring back.
Crush your enemies.
Okay.
See them driven before you.
All right, I guess.
They hear the lamentation of the women.
Lamentation.
And hear the lamentation of the women.
Lemonade.
Lemonade. I think we should.
And that's Conan the Barbarian.
It is.
Anything else for you?
No way.
Well, should we call somebody?
Sure.
I don't really want to call Rod. Do you want to call Rod? Let's call a special
guest. I don't have Rod's number, to be honest.
Rod. Thanks for recommending the movie. Thanks for your listen. But we're going to call... Who's the next best thing?
Here's someone here. Okay. I could probably call.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you have a...
I should.
Well, so here's the segment that we do is we like to call people that have maybe recommended the movie. So if you have a movie you'd like to recommend, you can always email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's jarppodcast@gmail.com. And you can you know, tell us what movie you want us to watch, and we'll watch it, and then we'll call you and talk to you about it. Isn't that fun? Except
isn't
if you're Rod,
nice.
We won't make any arrangement to get your phone number or call you, even though I hear you're a pretty outgoing guy, Rod. All right. Sean, are you ready? I just filibustered.
You did. All right.
You're going to call? Here we go.
Ring, ring.
Okay. All that time, then you had no sound effect ready. You could have called my cell phone.
I'll just put it in. Ring, ring.
Okay. Hello. Oh, this is real.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? It's Russ and Sean from Just Another Review Podcast.
Hey.
Is this Arnold?
Who are you?
Oh, this is Russ and Sean. We're from podcast. Anyways, we just wanted to talk to you because we just watched Conan the Barbarian.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey. Hey.
So.
What's up?
Oh, not much. Thank you for asking. Arnold.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. What resonates now as in 2023 as you look back on your amazing career? What did Conan the Barbarian really mean to you?
Put that cookie down now.
Maybe he's a little busy. Hang on.
Cookies?
No cookies today, Arnold. We're actually talking about Conan the Barbarian, and we wanted to kind of chat with you and kind of get a perspective, a retrospective on that movie for you. We loved it. Thanks so much for your work. What was maybe one of your favorite things about doing Conan the Barbarian?
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Sean's talked a lot about his daddy on this podcast, so maybe Sean, you want to take this one?
Sure. I don't know what my dad does anymore. What does your mom do?
Get your mother, please.
Okay.
Pardon me?
He asked for my mom, actually.
Oh, I don't think Sean's mom's here right okay. now.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Oh.
I want to have them answered immediately.
Of course. Okay, go for it. What questions would you like to ask us, Arnold? That's kind of a flip, isn't it?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
You bet. Okay. What's your first question, Arnold?
Okay.
Here we go.
I want to have them answered immediately.
Okay, you bet. We will answer them immediately. Okay. What do you got there?
Who is your daddy?
Okay, yeah, you already asked us that.
And
but
what does he do?
he's Rick and he's retired.
Who is your mother, fucking daddy, and what the fuck does he do?
What was that?
My mom is Jane. She just golfs, really, now.
Okay.
I'm not sure why we have to get so intense. Perhaps this is a bad time. Anything, finally, do you
want
to say, Arnold?
What do you want from me?
We just kind of want to ask you a couple questions.
Wake
Conan.
Up, you drunk fuck.
Okay. Thank you very much, Arnold, for taking the time.
Who are you?
It is Russ and Sean from Just Another Review Podcast. We're really sorry for interrupting your day. We hope hope you have a great day and a great life.
Yeah. Bye.
Oh, we got that one.
Mm. I don't know how that worked out.
Yeah, it was funnier when we practiced it.
Maybe we should have seen what kind of responses we would have got from there first.
What do you mean?
Maybe I should have read the soundboard a little bit better, knowing what we were in for.
We practiced it for like 10 seconds before, and we couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, this is funny.
Ready to rate this?
Yep.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck. So this is where we rate it. We give it our JARP rating. It could be out of 5. So, you know, 1 and 5. Woo!
Yay!
You know, with an audio medium, this is how, you know, how best I talk with words, English being that language. I gave it a 3.
Mm.
It's a strong 3 for me. There's great visuals, lovely imagery. I love the use of fantasy and history. I'm now interested in just this whole world that they've created and that and the author, Robert, that we were mentioning before. I'd like to go back maybe and kind of...
Go watch the other ones.
Yeah, or Red Sonja, you mean?
Well, and Conan the Destroyer.
I heard it's not very good.
Well, that's what I said.
I know, and I've actually heard that.
You just said, I want to explore this universe.
I want to explore Robert Irvin Howard's literature.
Maybe I should pay more attention.
And that's fine. But he wrote many, many books and short stories. And that's what we can get into. You don't just have to watch other movies.
Right, you're right. You're right.
Everyone's well casted, despite, you know, maybe not everyone being the best actor, like Christopher Plummer. But maybe taking a little bit of more of a whetstone to the plot here. But overall, ooh, fun quest and lots of neat pit stops along the way.
Mm-hmm. A 3 for you, eh?
3 for me. If it's a strong 3.
All right. 3.5 for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read my quote like I always do.
Yeah, classic.
The first in the Conan series is an epic visual quest that relies heavily on its beautiful bodies and landscapes. While writing is at a minimum for good measure, boobs, brawn, and bold adventures kept me entertained. All wrapped in a pretty decent musical score, some amazing set design, costumes, and a badass Earl Jones, this flick maybe deserves some credit for what it is and when it was barbarically released.
You know what this movie is?
3.5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I just mean...
I could be convinced to rate this higher.
Some of the visual effects, while some were bad, but for the fact that it was done in 82,
yeah,
some of them were really good.
They're great.
Actually. And just the sets and... Yeah, you could just probably turn off all the dialogue, left the music playing, and probably still be just as entertained.
This movie is way better than The Great Outdoors.
Mm.
This is our stargazing.
We just lost a viewer.
What has he been viewing this on? This is stargazing. We talk a little bit about what we're watching, maybe what we're reading, if we read anything we're excited about.
You know, we don't read a word.
What's that from?
That Canadian Heritage moment where that lady's like...
Part of your heritage?
Yeah, part of your heritage. And she's like, I don't know, arguing the Constitution or something right. like that. And she's like, here, or something about books in school, or I don't know, something. And she was like, here, read this to the judge who had to make the final call. And he kind of hands up. He's like, both, you know, I can't read a word.
He's like, and she's like, exactly.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Fuck you, Heritage Moments.
Matthew McConaughey.
And after that day, Margaret Elizabeth was never seen again.
I'll show her.
I've been trying to do a movie a day, or at least a show a day, or something a day. And it's great. All the movies that were kind of nominated for Oscars for 2022 are now pretty much available through streaming channels. Huh. So like Armageddon Time and Tar and The Fablemans and everything is now kind of viewable. Though I had watched Tar already. I just recently watched one that I'll talk about is The Fablemans. Have you seen The Fablemans?
No, I have not.
It's on your Crave. I think you should
I've go. I've got access to it for sure.
You should go home and we should talk about it another day.
Okay.
Especially as film.
It's like a Steven Spielberg love story. It's like
a semi-autobiography of him as a child growing up. So ooh, it's more, the love story is
as
between
a child.
His parents. Well, I mean, he has like a little bit of like a juvenile love interest, but it's more about maybe less love between his parents, but just like the relationship between his parents, but also how his parents represent the two sides of movie making.
Mm.
So watch it, and we'll talk about it.
Hmm.
I also...
More of an artistic approach, and the other one's more of a let's make money from this approach?
More technical, aspiring for technical mastery. Like,
I just see.
Like, you know,
okay.
Steven Spielberg, as an artist himself, able to, like, you know, do technical accomplishments, but also be able to work with the artistic community, like actors and you know, artistic vein. A good, you know, good picture of how Steven became Steven. I also am, like, I always will watch a Ryan Gosling movie, and so I'm going back to the ones I hadn't seen. I saw Between the Pines.
Have okay. you ever seen Between the Pines? Once.
So I had never seen it, so I saw that recently. Have to go back and watch that again. It's interesting. Spoilers for Between the Pines.
There's a different type of movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. There's, like, three parts to it, which I had no, I didn't understand that was what the movie was about. There's, like, a part with just Ryan Gosling and other characters. Then there's Bradley Cooper in the second part. And then there's like Bradley Cooper and Ryan Gosling kids in the third part. Mm. The movie for me got less and less interesting as it went on. But,
right.
But very interesting. I also watched Blue Valentine, which I had seen in the past, but kind of forgot about. And I really enjoyed that movie. Michelle Williams, Ryan Gosling. It's kind of, again, about like a relationship that's kind of falling apart. And,
like The Notebook?
Yeah, just like The Notebook, actually. I haven't seen The Notebook for a long time, but I think The Notebook's all about love kindling versus love falling apart, but I can't recall what The Notebook was all about. Except for the kissing in the rain. Rachel McAdams is amazing. But anyways, so is Michelle Williams, and so is Ryan Gosling. Watch Blue Valentine. It's on Netflix right now. It's great.
Okay.
What have you been watching?
Speaking of Ryan Gosling, I attempted to watch Barbie. We tried to watch it the other night. I was watching it and got into it, and then my daughter started bugging me for something. She wasn't feeling well, so I went and got her some salt water to gargle because she had some canker sores or whatever like that. And anyway, so I got pulled out of the movie. They continued to watch it, and you know, as 20 minutes or so went by, and so I kind of phased out, and I'll go back and rewatch it.
Yes. And is your daughter okay?
She is fine. She's got
canker sores or something?
She did, but I don't know.
She gargled salt water.
And now they're gone.
Is she grounded now for interrupting the Barbie movie?
No.
So you VOD'd it because it's now available to rent.
VOD'd.
And yeah, good movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to watch it again.
I checked out
that. I feel like it's still probably in the theaters.
Probably. Making a killing. I watched that silly Twisted Metal series or whatever. Paramount's got it.
I don't have a Paramount subscription.
So. No, neither do I. But it was good. It was funny. It didn't take itself too seriously. It was just kind of an adventure.
What's it about? What kind of genre is it? What is this? I don't know this.
Like post-apocalyptic comedy. I wouldn't even give it a horror tag.
Oh,
comedy,
maybe I adventure. Did see. I thought it was on Hulu, but or something.
What's his name? Falcon, the Falcon.
Yes, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie is in it, or whatever. Like that. And he's like a delivery driver in a post-apocalyptic world.
I did see this commercial.
They have to drive from kind of one established city to the next, and all in between are
pretty good.
Bad guys.
Yeah, stuff.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
No zombies. It's not a zombie.
No. Just
it's anarchy because the world's kind of
exactly. Dog eat dog world.
Dog
eat. An interesting Australian horror movie I just watched as well called Talk to Me. It's kind of about these kids that have this ceramic hand with these supernatural powers, and they host these kind of adolescent parties where all the kids take a turn shaking hands with this ceramic hand, and they're able to conjure spirits and stuff like that.
Like a Ouija board, but a hand.
Yeah, exactly, kind of thing. And then it kind of all goes bad and downhill and all that, and gets quite interesting near the end. And
you recommend it?
I do recommend it, actually. I do recommend it. It's really cool. Australian.
We were at a show last night, and you told Kayla, our friend, that you want me to watch a horror movie. Is that the horror movie you want me to watch?
No.
But eventually you want to do a horror movie for this podcast.
I'd like to do Hereditary eventually, yeah.
Okay.
It's heavy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay. I think you'll be fine with it
I'm going to watch it in the daytime.
Yeah. Well, I watched it in the middle of the day, and it still scared shit out of me.
Does it haunt you, like Midsommar?
Yeah. It stuck with me for about a good week after.
Midsommar still haunts me.
Yeah.
Good movie, though. Okay, I guess so. So, you let me know. We'll do Galaxy Quest first.
With Yeah. We'll get on the docket eventually. All right.
Here we go. Time for...
Random movie trivia game.
Okay, Sean, there's a stack of cards right there. You can pick any card you want. Sean and I are going to ask four questions each to each other. Whoever gets the most right wins. These are just random cards from a Borgo, you just even picked my card.
Oh, was I allowed to pick your card?
You can do whatever you want.
Wait, but now if I win...
Then you?
Then you're going to blame that I...
I just watched you randomly pick cards from a huge deck. I know you could never have rigged this.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't like winning like that.
Good luck, man.
No, I don't...
Are you okay?
It's just sometimes funny how the universe works. Here, you'll see what I'm talking
here
about.
Here we go. You want to ask me or I'll ask you first?
You're the ongoing winner, so I think you get to choose.
I'll ask you the first one then.
Okay.
What was the next trip after National Lampoon's Vacation?
What was the next trip?
Yeah, after. That's the wording of this question. What was the next trip after National Lampoon's Vacation? I think it's just probably the title of the next movie.
National Lampoon's European Vacation?
That is correct. That is correct. Good for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know sometimes they get tricky with their wording.
I know. Like, what are you really asking?
Okay. This is how the universe... Okay. Who killed Christopher Plummer in Knives Out?
It was the nurse by accident. What is the actress's name?
Who killed Christopher Plummer in
Knives Out?
Oh,
no. Sorry. It was Chris Evans. Chris Evans did. He was the murderer. Wasn't he? Wasn't Chris Evans the murderer? Fuck, I can't remember. I love that movie. It was Ana de Armas or Chris Evans, one of the two. Do I have to name the names?
What's your final? What is your? I'd like your. Oh, what's
think,
your final?
It's Chris Evans. I think it's Chris Evans.
Christopher Plummer killed Christopher Plummer in Knives Out. He killed himself. He what set it up so that she accidentally. It was an accident by her part, but he switched the vibe.
So what's the idea with why is Chris Evans kind of the bad guy at the end of it?
I think he did switch the vials, but he switched the vials after the vials had been switched.
I mean, you're reading the card, so the card is the right one.
Anyway,
I really enjoy. I've seen that movie
part
twice.
Is I was right and you were wrong.
Yeah, I've seen that movie twice. I don't know why.
I fucking love that movie.
I do love that movie. It's a great movie. More knives. Well, actually, I should.
I'm
say,
like that
I should
too.
Say.
I'm like, I love that movie, and I can't remember shit about it though. So.
It's super fun. Okay.
My turn.
Here we go. What film stars Steve McQueen as a young poker player on his way to the big time in 1930s New Orleans?
Steve McQueen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't know this.
It's not Bullet.
I don't,
But I think, I don't know, I Color think. Of Money.
That's not correct. It's called The Cincinnati Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati Kid.
All right.
Christopher Plummer killed Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer killed Christopher Plummer. All right, you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Which Marvel film introduces Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther?
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Captain America Civil War.
You're right.
Civil War. Well, the card says it.
What is wrong with me?
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I guess so. That was both of these are things I should have gotten correct.
Okay.
You're right. So Civil War introduced Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Civil War brought a bunch of characters together, and it started with Black Panther's dad getting all blown up, so why I couldn't put those pieces together to me, because I thought they blamed Bucky for that. I don't know, who cares, whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, isn't Winter Soldier all about Bucky? Is Bucky in Civil War? Yeah, Bucky's in Civil War. I don't care anymore. Go ahead. Here's your next question.
This is a one-sided conversation.
Thelma and Louise want to avoid being on what TV show? Geraldo, Oprah, or Donahue? Now, Louise wanted to avoid being on what TV show? Geraldo, Oprah, or Donahue? Didn't we do Thelma and Louise? Many years ago?
Donahue.
The correct answer is Geraldo.
Friggy.
I don't recall that part of the movie.
Not me neither.
But I don't even know who killed Christopher Plummer.
Who killed Thelma and Louise?
Themselves.
Oh! All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Gloria Swanson plays silent movie star Norma Desmond in what 1950s movie? Gloria Swanson plays silent movie star Nora Desmond in what 1950s movie? 1950s movie, Gloria Swanson.
Psycho?
Yeah, you never get it anyways. Yeah. Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, yeah. I think we have a real blind spot for all movies, but particularly ones that are done between like 1920 to 1975.
I would think so. Yeah, rightfully so.
But maybe we should figure that out. You go. You've gotten one right, yep. And I've gotten none right.
Right.
Okay. Well, I could still win.
You could.
If you get this wrong.
If I get
what
this wrong.
What British rocker played Gareth, the Goblin King, in Labyrinth?
What British rocker played the Goblin King?
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly is the answer, so say Jennifer.
That would be David Bowie.
Dance, magic dance. Okay.
That's right.
You win.
Thank you.
You win. I don't deserve another question, so you win.
Oh, wait. Like, this is just for...
Okay.
For shigs.
Okay.
For shigs.
How stupid am I?
Let's go. What does Hannibal Lecter recommend you pair with fava beans?
Fava beans.
Shit. What do you pair with fava beans?
Some guy's brains. Brains.
A nice Chianti. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Something like that?
Of course.
Of course.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks. Hey, we're back at it.
We're back at it, guys. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you. Always feel free to reach out, jarppodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Love you, Sean, buddy.
Love you too, man. You have a good one.
Bye.
See you soon.
Oh, wow.
Well.
This is the outro music now?
That is very inappropriate. Let's try that again. Goodbye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Oh, because it's now.
Russ! Russ, get out of the bathroom!
Oh, no.
Russ, get out of the bathroom!
I'm busy!
Asian witches! Oh!